All right. Good evening, everybody. Did everybody get a candy cane? Yay, candy cane. Who said that back there? Yay, candy cane. All right. Well, candy canes are one of the traditions of Christmas, and we're going to talk about some of that a little bit later. But right now, CBC has a tradition of having the kids explain Christmas to us. So let's watch this video here real quick.
An angel came to see Mary. She was home doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're gonna have, what? I can't say it good. Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager, I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast.
They tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed.
When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. Then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
Well, we should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly.
Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
All right, well, how can you compete with that? Pretty much, I'm done. You guys have heard the Christmas story, so it's good. But Christmas is one of the most meaningful times of the year, and it's, you know, times when houses are decorated with lights and songs are sung, and people come together to celebrate with gifts and family gatherings and festive traditions. And one of those traditions is the candy cane. That's why we were handing them out. And I know some of you guys are like, bah, sugar, I don't need sugar. It's an object lesson. So I hope you all got one, and if you didn't, then look at your neighbors. But the candy cane is a holiday treat with a history that goes back several centuries. And it dates back to like 1670, back when I was a young guy. A church choir master is the guy that actually invented it, because they had kids coming in to do choir practice and sing and stuff like that, and the kids would get kind of fidgety, right? So he talked to a candy maker and said, hey, can you make me a candy that's shaped like a shepherd's hook to remind them of when baby Jesus was born. So they did that, and they found that the kids really enjoyed them, kept them focused and sharp, and choir practice went much better. And so then, of course, as time went on, the candy cane was originally white just to show Jesus' purity. And then as time went on, later this red stripe was added to represent Jesus' blood and sacrifice for us. So, yeah, it's a great reminder. So now whenever you guys see a candy cane, you can remember that story and say, you know what, when Ron was young, they invented the candy cane. But we all know that candy canes and decorations and Christmas lights and all that stuff is not what Christmas is about. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And Jesus, of course, is the Savior of the world, the Savior for us. And so let's take a moment to reflect on what Christmas truly means and how Christmas touches our lives and our hearts for both young and old. So over 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, a miraculous event took place. God sent his only son, Jesus, into the world as a baby. And this wasn't an ordinary birth. It was the fulfillment of promises made by prophets 700 years prior to Christ's birth. And in Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah writes, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And Jesus was born, of course, in the humblest of settings, right? A manger in a stable. And his mother and earthly father, Joseph, wrapped him in clothes and laid him in the manger. And shepherds guided by the angels were the first to hear the good news, as we saw in the video. I'm not going to sing for you, but Luke also records this, and he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And then, of course, wise men also traveled far to follow the star to come see the birth of Christ. And they did bring gifts. I don't know about Jordans, but they did bring them frankincense, gold, and myrrh. So, so it's quite the event. And so why is this event so important? And it just shows that Jesus came as a humble servant. He came for everyone, for young and old, for rich and poor, for those who feel lost, and for those seeking hope. And a lot of times during Christmas, we only think of baby Jesus. However, that baby grew up, and he grew up to change the world forever. And Jesus came for a purpose, and that purpose was to offer us salvation. And it's the best gift that could ever be offered. And as the Bible teaches in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And when I was doing youth ministry back, well, not quite in the 1670s, but a little bit closer, I think probably in the 90s, the kids, you know, when they'd read this verse, they'd say, "Yeah, that's great for the world, but, you know, Jesus didn't come for me." And we really need to personalize that verse in that God so loved me that he came and gave his only son. And that's really the truth, and that's really the heart of Christmas. And that's the reason Jesus came. Jesus provides a gap between God and humanity. Because as humans, we all have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to take that burden upon himself. By his life and his death and his resurrection, he opens a way for us to have a personal relationship with God and the gift of eternal life with him. And at Christmas, we celebrate that birth of Jesus, the hope, the love, and the peace that he brings into our lives, and the most important free gift of eternal life with him. In Ephesians 2:8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God." So for children, Christmas often feels magical, the twinkle lights, the decorations, the gifts under the trees, the fun Christmas trees, all that stuff can just bring joy to their hearts. But it's also a time that we can plant seeds of faith. Kids, think of the greatest gift that you've ever received. Now imagine a gift so wonderful that it lasts forever. That's what Jesus is. He is the gift from God. And when you see the nativity scene, remember that Jesus was born just like all of us. And he grew up to love and care for all people. And he loves you too, more than you can even imagine. Now for us older generations, Christmas may bring reflections of years gone by, of family gatherings, childhood memories, and some traditions that may have been passed down through generations. But Christmas is also a time to renew our faith by reflecting on what God has done for us. And to everyone, remember that Jesus came to give you peace in every season of life. He walks with you no matter what. No matter what your joys are, no matter what your struggles are, no matter the challenges that you're facing, he's always there for us. And his love remains consistent through everything. Christmas is a reminder that God's promises are true and his light shines bright even in our darkest moments. So, how do we honor the true meaning of Christmas? Well, we can do it with worship and gratitude. Take time to thank God for the gift of his son. Whether through prayer, singing carols, or attending church, let your heart be filled with praise. It could also be through giving to others. Christmas is about giving, just as God gave his son to us. And this doesn't always mean expensive gifts. It could be your time, your kindness, your help to someone in need. And remember, as Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Then the third point is spending time with family and friends. Christmas is a wonderful opportunity to strengthen relationships, sharing stories, reading the Christmas story from the Bible, and reminding people of God's blessings and what he's done in your life. And then reflecting on God's love. No matter where you are in your life, Christmas is the perfect time to reflect on how much God loves you and the blessings that he has given you. He sent his son for you that you might have hope and peace and eternal life. Now, I've spoken a lot about how Jesus freely offers us so much and, more importantly, the gift of eternal life. But what's the most important part about a gift? Anybody? Accepting it, right? And it's accepting it and receiving it. So let's say somebody came to me and said, Pastor Captain Ron, because Captain Ron's also a nickname that I picked up, I want to give you an amazing fishing boat. I want to give you a brand new 26-foot Osprey Storm. What do you think I'd say? Heck yeah, man, I'd take it right away. Now, what would you think of me if I said, no, I'm too prideful to take a gift like that, right? Or, no, I just don't want it. Or, whatever, but I would never use it, right? You guys would think I'd lost my marbles. What, you know, that would be the most amazing gift, just in case for next year. And yet, isn't that exactly what we do with Jesus? There is nothing more valuable. There's nothing greater than the gift of eternal life. And yet, how often do we say no to Jesus? And many refuse it. So as we celebrate Christmas, let's remember that Jesus is at the center of it all. He is the reason for the season. Whether you're young or old or in between, his love is a gift that never fades. Just as the star guided the wise men to Jesus, may his light guide your heart this Christmas season. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tonight is a great night to do that. And it's the best and only eternal gift that's available. So let me end with a verse that captures the heart of Christmas. It's Luke 2:14. It says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So Merry Christmas to all of you, and may your heart be filled with joy this season. And please, let's enjoy this evening of worship. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together to celebrate your birth. Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you give us each day, for the air we breathe and the food we eat. Father, I just pray that our hearts would be open as we listen to these worship songs and we participate with singing, with joy and happiness. Lord, we just love you so much. We just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Praise his name forever. Well, tonight we're going to spend a few moments remembering the night of the Christ's birth. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the light of the world, a baby in a manger.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
And mercy mild, God and sin. find the story of the birth of Jesus in the Bible. And we have a tradition at our house. Before we open gifts on Christmas time, we read the story from the second chapter of Luke in the New Testament. I recommend you guys try that with your family this year. It's a great thing to do. As one of our children's ministry kids found out as he read from Luke chapter 2.
It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." Luke 2, 15.
So the shepherds made their way to Bethlehem, looking from house to house, maybe barn to barn, until they came to the one that held the Christ child. And this is a story from the perspective of one of the guys who may have made his way to the manger that night.
I come to the manger side and gaze at him in wonder, for this little one who cries will one day dry all tears. His little hands that formed the universe will one day bleed for me. How can it be? How can it be? I worship you, little infant boy on a humble bed of hay. I worship you, who will grow up strong enough the world to save. But for now I kneel before you, where one day all will bow and worship you. I worship you, little infant boy on a humble bed of hay. I worship you, who will grow up strong enough the world to save. But for now I kneel before you, where one day all will bow and worship you. I worship you. Oh, 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 oh. I worship you. Oh, oh, oh,
as we transition into this time of communion, we remember the humble scene of Christ our Lord's birth in a manger. And Ron, you did such an amazing job just laying out the whole story of Jesus. The story of Christ is not something we should get tired of hearing, especially as we posture our hearts to partake in communion. It's something we're to meditate on daily, especially. So, to prepare our hearts this evening as we come to the manger, let's meditate on Christ. With a God who formed the universe and spoke it into existence, the God who created us now is born of a virgin and comes to dwell with us. And this baby grows into a man who is the perfect example of righteousness and compassion and love in obedience through his life. And he showed us how to love by serving and obeying God. But before we can even do that, we must first accept and recognize that we all are sinners, separated from God and in desperate need of a Savior. A Savior from what? A very real place the Bible calls hell, or separation from God is eternal. Jesus came to take on that pain and penalty that we ourselves deserve. And he is the only one who can stand in our place and say, I'll take the punishment for him. I'll take the punishment for her. Because he himself never sinned. He is the perfect lamb born for slaughter to save the sins of ourselves, the sins of the world. Jesus is not just a good moral teacher, as some proclaim. No, he is God with us. God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. And I just want to say, if you don't yet know him as your Savior, we encourage you to take this time to reflect on the real truth of Christmas and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came because we all need him. There is nobody good, not one of us. We need Jesus to rescue us from our sin and to reconcile us to God. God and sinners reconcile.
Yeah.
This is the greatest gift we could ever receive. Greater than a fishing boat, greater than an inheritance. This is an eternal inheritance. It's extended to each and every one of us, and all we have to do is accept it. In communion, what we're about to go into is a sacred act for those who have placed their faith in Jesus. And if that's not you, if you aren't quite there yet, we want to encourage you to observe rather than partake. But please use this moment to consider the eternal peace, the eternal gift, and the hope of heaven that we all can partake in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And believers, as we take the bread and the cup this evening, and elders, you can come forward now, let's remember the full picture of Jesus, not just the manger baby Jesus, but the perfect life of obedience Jesus. The Jesus that willingly lays down his life and goes to the cross for us. And the Jesus that overcomes death in his victory and his resurrection from the grave. This is the good news of Christmas, folks. This is the good news of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, we have elders on both sides with elements for communion. We want to invite you now to come down and partake. And you'll be facilitated by the elders, either in groups or individually. And then once you partake up here, you'll go sit down and we'll continue on with our service, okay? Thank you, folks.
Silent night. So
last candle of the Advent. It's the Christ candle, and it represents Jesus, the light of the world, to come and bring salvation and light to the world of darkness. The white symbolizes purity and holiness, which we reflect on a sinless nature of Christ, completely God and completely man. As John writes in his gospel, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So tonight, if you'd like to make a decision to accept the free gift of eternal life through Jesus, please come up and talk to me or one of the staff or one of the elders, and we'd love to share that with you. Again, it's the most valuable and the only eternal gift that's available. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the salvation that can be found in you. Lord, we just thank you again for this wonderful evening of worship and praise. Father, we just thank you for this Christmas season, for bringing Jesus into the world to reconcile us with you. Lord, we just love you and we praise you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand together? We're going to close with the final verse of Silent Night, and we'll be dismissed.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn
God in the highest, Christ is born. Merry Christmas, everyone.